knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more death, hath no more domain over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lived unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Brethren, this is number 5 in our series of text with the phrase in it, "We believe." Now, in case you're not thinking about it, we began this series almost 2 years ago. God appointed this text for this morning. I didn't. It wasn't my plan to preach from this text this morning.
Yeah.
I did plan to preach from it. But here we are. God has arranged so for us to have the emphasis of Brother Paul's words here this morning. As we think about it, this is number 6 in the series of 9. As we think about it, as I began thinking and preparing this text, I thought of this question that I have heard for these some 50 years plus that I have walked and lived by faith. It's a common question ask of Scripture revelation by both believer and unbeliever. Even people who don't believe the Scripture record may ask this question. Even though it's kind of a shallow question, certainly from an unbeliever. And the question is, what does that mean to or for me? As we think about the resurrection. You know, how many times have you heard that? Some of us veterans have heard that question over and over and over again. And as I said, it's often a question of shallow thinking. But yet, in the case of this text, it's an opportunity to highlight the resurrection and what it means to us. Brother Paul is applying this reality to the lives of these believers. These are believers that these words are addressed to. Faith, then, of course, can and does ask this question, which is not shallow. Lord, what would you have me to do?
Yes.
And that question, of course, is especially pertinent and piercing in light of the aggressive nature of ungodliness in our careless and shallow generation, self-serving religious generation even.
Yes, that's right.
So we know that the current environment is deadly to the soul. It highlights self-deceived and perversions of every kind, trumpets them, pushes them in your face and in your ears again and again. Both secular and religious thinking does that. Shallow religious thinking. They trumpet, they shout personal liberties while at the same time they're enslaved. More enslaved than previous generations, in fact.
Yeah. Amen.
Corrupt desires, they're driven to and fro by the promises of every wind and wave, only to find multiple layers of trouble within those promises. Because they're corrupt promises, you see. But they're blinded, they can't see that. Brother Paul, his words are divinely directed to expose the hearing, heart, and mind to this truth that has not been discovered by human analysis or calculation. It's a divine revelation. That's the only source.
Amen.
Of the things that we need to learn and understand of that knowing that we learn. As we regularly note in our discussions, in our teaching here, what's written here in this letter is written to believers, opening up the reality of what they have what they've entered into.
That's right.
What they themselves have experienced by their faith. Faith has led them and brought them to this place, see. And we have the hope of this promised future, which is built on the reality of our Savior's life here in the earth and now in heavenly places. This moment, this very moment in heavenly places, where the Father has entrusted all things of life and godliness to His Son. In Himself He holds the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, fullness of God's grace and truth. That's what we're partaking of here. And by these we have access both now and until the last day. By them we shall enter abundantly into God's presence. There is no good alternative. None. None. We believe. We believe that we shall also live. See, this is what Brother Paul wants to emphasize to them in their thinking. He wants to elevate this and highlight this as they're able to see it. He begins in the text that Brother Levi read here in verse 6. We call it verse 6. Knowing this. See, this is what's been revealed. Now, knowing this. See, thinking about this, realizing this, seeing this, embracing this, taking hold of this, knowing this. They've done this in their faith, you see. Their faith in the gospel that was preached to them. Now, Brother Matt, and maybe someone else, already highlighted this text this morning from Acts 2:22 through 24, where Brother Peter declared, "Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." That's what they believed. See. Then later, Brother Peter would declare this, "The God of our fathers hath glorified his servant, his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the holy and just one and desired a murderer be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." One more. Brother Paul preaching there in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia. He said, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you that feareth God, to you the word of this salvation is sent."
That's right.
"For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead.
Amen.
And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people." Now that's what these readers had believed. In some form, this message was proclaimed and declared to them, was announced to them, was reported to them, as Brother Seth cited to us from the prophet Isaiah. A report. Of course, at the time that Brother Isaiah reported it, it hadn't yet happened.
Yeah.
Three times here in Brother Paul's statements, in verses, 6 through 11, particularly verse 6 and 7. I'm sorry, in the previous verses, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Verses 3, 4, and 5, three times. Brother Paul declares their entrance into these things. When they entered into these divine realities, they had heard and believed of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. By faith, they were baptized into Jesus' death, buried with him, planted together. That was their experience. Stated three different ways. Their union with Jesus. Two times. He states their current part in the resurrection. Raised up from the dead. They had experienced that. In the likeness of his resurrection. They had experienced that. See, and Brother Paul is simply reminding them of that. Then he states their involvement in life from above. That is, the spiritual vitality and virility, the productive power that was in them and through them. Things produced in them and things being produced through them as well. So he exhorted them to walk in this newness of life and to yield themselves to the works that were characteristic of it. See, it has certain works that come from these things. Works for which, Brother Paul would later write, works for which you have been prepared in advance. And they, the works themselves have been prepared in advance, and now they were being prepared in advance. See. Now in our focus text, knowing this, he speaks of the crucifixion of the old man, which is the fruit of faith in Jesus.
That's right.
You yield yourself to him, the old man will be put to death. It destroys, he says, it destroys the body of sin. In another place, of course, Brother Paul would describe that as cut off, circumcised by the operation of God. Now they were no longer serving sin by faith. They were no longer dominated by it. They were free from its dominion, able then to abide in life. In another place, he would say, your hearts have been cleansed. Your conscience has been cleansed.
Amen.
That you may serve the living God.
Amen.
Well, these are kingdom realities.
Yes.
Amen. Bestowed upon the believer by the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. In another place he would say the grace of God teaches us. See?
Yes, amen.
This was their current experience of living by faith. The old has been pushed out, has been cut off, has been destroyed, has been put to death by the new. A cleansed conscience results. Peace with God is realized. Power to live in fellowship with heaven. With hope in God's presence. That is entering in. The end is. We haven't yet. But that's the end. That's the goal. That's the target that's being worked in us. This is why we speak about these things. Some may see this as a pie in the sky by and by. Not so. It's working in us now.
Amen.
And it will come in full at the time of God's appointment for us.
Amen.
So Brother Paul fervently directs them. This is not a suggestion. It's not even a recommendation. He is fervently urging them forward, pushing them, pulling, whichever, however you want to describe it, whichever side they are on from him. He's pressing their thinking. A strong challenge based upon what they had already heard and believed. See. Then he goes on and says, if we be dead with Christ, if we be dead with Christ. You see, heaven knows who's dead
Amen.
And who's not.
Amen.
But we must know that also.
That's right.
Some of us have spoken with people. I've heard people talk about people who claim to be believers. Talk about, well, we can't really know. We can't. What's this record for if you can't really know? Can we not understand what's written? Well, then what's the point if we can't understand? If it's beyond our grasp. So if we don't yet understand, we need to grow up. We need to grow into it.
That's right. Or
you need to repent is what you need to do and turn to God.
Yeah.
Fully turn to him if you haven't before. Turn back to him if you did in the past and turned away. ignorance of these things is at least a grave danger leading to delusion and corruption if it's not corrected by understanding of these things. God will give that. The basis of this correction is the knowledge of the Lord. It's just knowing Him. Because these are His ways. This is what He works to prepare us to enter into His presence. It's an initial knowing. We know Him at the beginning. And then it's a continuing, ongoing learning and understanding and perception. We believe. If we be dead with Christ, we believe. See? It's from faith to faith, as Brother Paul said at the introduction, his introduction in this letter. We believe. It's the action of faith working in the heart and mind.
Amen.
Faith is both a reward, and it increases by God's divine provision for our progress in understanding. All these things are obtained by faith. They're maintained by faith. They're gained by faith in the first place. And such is what we have in this text.
Amen.
To build their faith, to strengthen and fortify their understanding of what took place. We all speak to our children. Us older ones speak to you younger adults about things that took place in the past where you were not. We saw these, or where you were too young to understand. You may have been there. How many of us parents, grandparents have said to you, how many of you young ones have heard mom or dad, grandpa or grandma say, well, you were there. I don't remember. Well, let me tell you about it then. Brother Paul's doing that very thing here.
Right.
Now, of course, these believers were there. They did know. They did remember. But they didn't know the full import of these things, if you will. The full meaning, the full weight of them. And so he's revealing that to them. Such is what we have in this text then. Provoking the heart and mind for strength and stability. This is the working of the power of God in this great salvation. It continues, see. It's not just to bring us in. Not just to bring us in. But to sustain us, to guide and direct us, to bring us through to the end. We shall also live with Him, he says. Now, walking by faith in the blood of Christ who cleanses us from all sin, in fellowship with Him, tasting of the good word of God and the Holy Spirit and the powers of the age to come. These are the things that we've come to, perception and understanding of divine provision in fellowship with the truth. See, these are things, the things that He's working on us, leading us in the ancient and everlasting way, the way that will not fail of light and truth and light, looking to the fullness of these things promised by God's grace and in the riches of His grace in the ages to come. We have the earnest of these things now. So such is the reality of God's provision for us by the great shepherd of the sheep, the Savior of our souls.
Amen.
These things prepare us for what is ahead, the end of present things, the removal of present things, so that we might see the things that last, the things that endure, the things that have not changed. This will all fall down like the scaffolding of life, and we'll see the things that have always been there, that only faith could see. And we'll have an abundant entrance into them. These are things that are just beyond our last earthly breath, just beyond our last heart's beat. In the twinkling of an eye is the way the scripture speaks about it. Then Brother Paul goes back and reviews it again. He died unto sin once. He declares the things that they believed. Again, restates the gospel, the process by which our Savior became our Savior, the corner and the head of life indeed for sinners. He in whom sin had no place. It had no attachment to Him. Its allure could not attach itself to Him in any manner.
Amen.
No matter how close it got to Him. Nothing attracted Him. And yet, on the cross, well, our brother Seth cited Brother Isaiah's words. It was laid upon Him by the Father. Iniquity. It's a heavy word, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. An uncomfortable word. You never hear it used. Nobody uses it in the secular world. You very seldom hear the word sin. If it is used, it's often used in scoffing and joking. The word iniquity? Well, the only place it's used is where someone's writing about Scripture. That's the only place. It's an exclusive word.
Yeah, amen.
It was laid upon him. And that was the only place and the only time when this occurred. And he took it away in his body on the tree. Now, the impact of it, though, well, that applies to all men. It benefits all who did, who are, and who will live by faith.
Amen.
This has already been mentioned this morning also, that in this working of God, the Father and the Son together, he destroyed him who had the power of death along with all of his works. And the fruit of his life, the fruit of this powerful life, now works in those of us
Amen.
Who believe. Who live here by faith, live in the earth by faith, by God's design. He intended to leave us here living these things by faith. You will not please God in the past, present, or future without this faith, looking to the Son. Now he liveth unto God. He fulfilled all things. This is still part of this reminder of what they believed. He's fulfilled all things. He's finished his course. He kept his faith with the Father. He's returned again from the dead. It could not hold him. He returned to his disciples for a short time, affirming everything, clarifying their thinking, and directing their immediate actions. But his ultimate living was to his Father. And so he returned to him in heavenly places. And that place received him, the first man to be received of the power of his own life. Amen. He was recognized as the Son of God and also as the Son of Man, received in their presence, the firstborn among many brethren, Brother Paul will state in later writings. And now he lives unto God, in God's presence, to bring us through this present world, to make us stand then in God's presence, blameless and without accusation. You will not enter and remain without this preparation that he provides.
Yes, amen.
And so Brother Paul closes this section saying this, "Reckon ye also yourselves." See, that's the application. That's what it means to me. "Reckon ye also yourselves." Yield yourself to what these things mean. Our involvement. Engage them fully. It's not a one-time thing at all. They're working in us. God's power working to bear fruit in us. Living in this liberty of life indeed. Reckoning, of course, is faith leaning forward. Taking hold, aggressively taking hold of that for which we have taken hold of in the gospel, which Brother Paul will write to the Philippians later. Those who died in faith before these things, as to God's promises, well, they've taken hold of them. And they didn't know what we know. They didn't see these things, but they're approved of God. He would later state, this indeed, well, that means that word indeed is truly or really and exactly has to do with precision. Take hold of these things. Recognize it clearly. Emphatic, it's specific, it's clear as to us yielding to God and his work, our involvement of faith. And this involvement is core to its nature. If there is no involvement, there is no faith. No matter what the words are. The "if," of course, is stated twice. It emphasizes the conditional reality of these things. It emphasizes, again, the involvement. Those who have this involvement, of course, also have God's power.
Yeah.
Unto salvation. So, brethren, we believe that we shall also live, even as the Savior does.
Yes.
God's grace in Christ Jesus is working these things. It is for us to yield to it, to work in us that which is pleasing in sight. It raises us up. It equips us to serve God beside our risen Savior as we are fellow workers with Him in the truth and the reality of the things that we have believed. God's grace and peace to you, brethren. Brother Aaron has our exhortation this morning.
I found myself thinking about, as I'm preparing for an exhortation, what's the exhortation for? And another way of saying it is provoking. So we could call it the closing provoking. So we take what's been preached and provoke you to do something with it. We don't want to be forgetful hearers, and we don't want to be unmoved by the things that we've heard. You know, the prophets, I'm always provoked by this. The prophets were provoked and drawn by things that didn't belong to them. They belonged to another generation. We're living in that generation that the prophets were drawn by. And so our provoking should be much more than we saw in the prophets. And they searched diligently of the things that they were given. So here, for the closing provoking, I want to tell you this, that believing is like a root. Believing is like a root within us. A root grows. It's growing further underneath the ground. It's growing out further. And so the believing when you first believed, just try to think of the measure of believing. What did you know when you first believed? How much believing did you do when you first believed? Compare that now with the believing that you have today. You believe more. The root is growing. Secondly, the root draws. The root doesn't just stabilize, but the root draws life from the earth. The root, it pulls the moisture, the water that comes down from heaven, it pulls it out of the ground. That's what believing does. Believing receives what is available. Believing brings in the nutrients and the provision that God gives into the earth. And finally, believing bears fruit. Jesus said, "You'll know a tree by its fruit." And so the believing directly bears on what we bear. So if we believe God, then you're going to be able to you're going to be bearing good fruit, bearing the godly fruit of God. And so I want to exhort you and provoke you with this. Do you believe what has been preached today? Do you believe this? Jesus asked the question. He said, "You'll never die." Do you believe this?
Yes.
Don't take for granted. Don't assume that because you believed that you're still believing. Do you believe this? We have to believe again every day.
Amen.
You have to. This is the work of God to believe, which means that the root is still growing. It's still growing out further. It's still growing down deeper. So take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief.
Amen.
Do you believe, Lord? Now there was a man that came to Jesus. He said, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. So I want to provoke you to see, to know in yourself that you haven't believed all that you can believe. Help your unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. There is more to believe. Let me exhort you with this. Have you ever been in, let's just limit it, in the last 30 days, have you been troubled to the point where you are probably distracted by some sort of trouble? You may have been moved a little bit by some sort. See, help my unbelief.
Amen.
See, that's how we have to think about things. If you're troubled to where something that is temporal actually Like it like gets down into your heart and your mind too far that we need help. Our unbelief needs help. All things work together for good. Do you believe this? Amen. See, when you believe that, it roots you. It can make you, if all things work together for good, then, and I believe that, then you can be steadfast, you can be unmovable. But you do have to believe it. And please, in my behalf, please don't assume that I don't need reminded of that. You know, we shouldn't say, well, we all know this. No, we should say like Paul, I'm going to say it again. And because it's safe to say it again. So we need to be reminded. All things work together for the good of. So Jesus is still helping our unbelief. He gave us to believe, and he's continued helping our unbelief. The work of believing is not over, brethren.
Amen.
That's why preaching is still needful. That's why meditation at the Lord's table is still needful. That's why we still talk about the things that we have seen and heard, because the work of believing is not over. Here's another provoking thought. Do you believe that God shall supply all my need? You believe this? God shall supply all my. Then what do we do with worry?
Yeah.
You see that? If I believe God shall supply all my need when there is nothing coming in, and when there is no provision in the house, I mean, God shall supply all my need. What does that do to anxiety? Be anxious for nothing. I think that means nothing. That means don't ever be anxious, because God will supply all your need. But you have to believe that. And that's what he's given us faith to believe this. Lastly, he will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. He will not allow it.
Yeah.
You could see trials and temptations all around you, very close, that somebody else is undergoing, that he may not allow you to, because you're not able to bear it. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able to bear. I rejoice that the Lord approves all temptations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, brethren, we have to believe that if you are undergoing it, if it has come to you, then God has allowed it.
Amen.
He has allowed it to come to you. And he has judged, the judge of all the earth, he has judged that it is not more than you can bear. Now that's a piece of good news. To believe he will not suffer you, and if God suffers it not, it will not. If he says to the sea, you can come this far and no more, then your trial will come this far and no more. And the enemy can come this far and no more, because he suffers, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. I rejoice in that.
Amen.
And I provoke you, do you believe this? Do you believe that God will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able to bear? See, he's granted us to believe that, and so I exhort you to believe it. He won't suffer it to happen. So I'll open up now for any of you that have anything to say. Thank you, Brother Gene, for laboring in the Word and in the doctrine. I wanted just a thought. Years ago, Brother Gibbon had said the truth is like a nut, that the meat is inside a hard shell, and it's got to be cracked open before you get. And I think about that as the brethren labor in the Word to bring us something of whatever capacity it is. They've labored to crack something open, and now we partake of their labors. And that's a wonderful gift, Sister Leah.
Believing is the action of faith. Believing, hoping, and receiving grace is entering into the kingdom. Christ works in the new, and believing comes by Christ. You have to put off the old man and also the things associated with it to be one with Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Jeremy?
Amen. Yeah, as Brother Gene was speaking, I wrote this down. As we yield ourselves to Christ, we'll cut off the old man. And then I remembered Romans 6:16 talks about, know ye not that ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness.
That's right.
So there's two things that are going to happen. You're either going to yield yourself to servants of death unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. That, you know, for someone to say, well, I'm just going to do my own thing. You're not. You're yielding to one or the other.
That's right.
And Christ is life. This is our life. We have no life apart from Christ. Death is what we have. Mm-hmm. So this is, and then, of course, the more you see, the more you want, your appetite changes, everything changes. And so it's not that the circumstances change, it's we have been changed.
Yes,
our desire has been changed. Amen. Our love for what God, for life, has been changed. So then you see more and more what this means by being, you're a slave unto sin. Mm-hmm. Someone who says, I'm free to do whatever I want. No, you're not. We are not free to do whatever we want. Mm-hmm. But we are free to serve Christ.
Yep. Amen.
Like as Brother Jeremy said, everybody is yielding to someone.
That's right.
Everybody also has a burden. That Jesus said, he called it those who labor and are heavy laden. And then he said, take my yoke.
Amen.
He says, my burden is light. So everybody has some kind of burden.
Yes.
You got either the burden of the world or you have the burden of the Lord.
Amen.
Everybody's got a burden. And what a blessing to carry his burden.
Amen.
His
Amen.
Burden is light.
Yes.
Amen.
Brother Bob.
Yeah, I appreciate this thought that, it talks about our old man being crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Yeah. Not suppressed, not like you're just given no. You know, obviously we don't want him. So, but see, the point is that just as Jesus had to die, we are going to have to die.
That's right.
The only way we're getting out of this thing with a new body and a new, is that this flesh and blood's got to die.
Amen.
Now, right now, he says, reckon yourself to be dead. But see, there's coming a time,
yeah,
if the Lord tarries, that we are going to put off,
yes,
this container of that. This is a vile body. See, this is our. This is the big problem we have. You've got to keep it on the cross, because if you don't, it will express itself. It's just as alive today as it was the day you came into Christ. So it has to die. This body has got to die. Now we've been given everything we need to crucify it, to keep it under. That we're reigning over it. But won't it be a wonderful thing when we awake and we don't have this warfare anymore? It's gone. And see, this is what salvation is designed to do, is to make us wholly free, completely sanctified. And this is a wonderful thing.
Amen.
But and why? So we won't serve sin.
Amen.
So salvation, Jesus died and has given us salvation. But see, unless we put off the old man and put on the new man, unless we walk in the Spirit, we will walk in the flesh. This is just the way. In other words, salvation, we don't have to sin anymore. We don't have to. But see, this body, it still has a taste of sin living in it. It wants it. So we've got to keep it suppressed. But I just thought that was a wonderful comparison that one of these days. And it comes. It's something that we don't really have control over, our own demise. As this body, of course, that sounds kind of morbid, doesn't it? But it also sounds like a great deliverance too.
Yeah,
if you're in Christ Jesus, the death of the body doesn't scare you anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone's actually, if you're scared or not, you're going to die. But we're going to be raised in His likeness, right? Mm-hmm. So see, well, what a great hope that brings us, even now. You don't have to. You don't have to submit to it. You just don't. You can say no. I'm not going to do that. And it works because he died and he rose from the dead. He's given us this power to live for him.
Amen.
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 When Christ works in us, we overcome the old man, because everything in this world compared to Christ is old. So we must set aside those kinds of things and look to Jesus, because if we do, at the end, we will have all things new.
Mm. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Brother Gibbon.
So when you come in, God crucifies the old man when you come in.
Amen.
And then he tells you to keep him on the cross.
That's right.
Now, you'll be free from those impulses and drawings when you leave the body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus may not come for, you know, 1,000 years after that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the interim, you'll not be wrestling anymore. Once you get out of this body, yeah, the wrestling is done.
Amen. See,
amen.
That's why you keep under your body.
Yes.
Don't let it carry you. Yes. You carry it.
Amen.
Because actually, the thief on the cross that didn't repent, he was pretty robust. On the cross,
yeah.
He was pretty robust. He challenged Christ, you know. But if he'd have got off that cross, he'd have went back to stealing.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. So your old nature is crucified, but if you give it leeway, it's just as strong as it ever was.
Yes.
It's only weak on the cross.
Amen. Yes.
If you stay there long enough, you'll be... You used to sing a song, "We'll soon be done with troubles and trials."
Yes.
That's coming.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you, brethren, for sharing and expanding on the truth. This is part of sowing and watering. You know, every time that the Word of God is ministered, there's sowing going on and watering. At the same time, so you want to be alert when the Word of God is ministered, because a lot is going on. The angels are ministering, the Holy Spirit is leading, Jesus is among us, and there's a lot of work going on when the Word of God is being ministered.
Amen.